This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. on Tuesday, August 17th, 2021. We'll go ahead and call the workshop into session. First item is the roll call. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem.
Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, is present.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, Place 2.
Michael Blomquist, Councilman, Place 2, is present.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3.
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, present.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4.
Linda Nash, Place 4, present.
Okay, thank you. Sam Hallaby, Place 5.
Sam Hallaby, Place 5, present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, we have all present, and we do have a quorum. Next item is item number 2, presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code Section 551.042 prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Okay, is there anyone in the chamber that wishes to make a presentation to the council? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to item number 3, which is new business. And number 1, receive and discuss the fiscal year 2021-2022 budget. Finance Director.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, Council, and everyone in, that's in the Council chamber. I'm just going to be giving a brief overview of the budgets that have been provided to you in front of you. This has also been posted to the website for our citizens to follow along. And like I said, we'll just go over the do a brief overview of the layout of your binder, and I'll provide some major points of interest. And then on Friday, August 27th at 10 a.m., we'll go into greater detail during the budget retreat, which will be held at the Harker Heights Activity Center. The proposed fiscal year 2022 budget is balanced with total revenues of $55,169,700 and total expenditures of $64,045,700, which includes capital expenditures funded by prior year certificates of obligation. The proposed tax rate is 0.6519 per $100 valuation, which is lower than the 0.6727 voter approval rate, but higher than the no new revenue rate of 0.6305. And the city's current tax rate, as you know, is 0.6770. If you open your binder behind the first tab, is your budget message and budget at a glance. Items of note in this section is on the first one is on page 2. The chart in the middle has to do with the lost ad valorem tax revenue due to HB 3613. I just want to point out that this year, the 100% disabled veterans appraised total appraised value is $447,226,254, which equates to a loss of revenues of over $2.9 million for this upcoming fiscal year. Your budget at a glance starts on page 7. In this same section, there you will find right in the middle there a table that provides you a summary of your total revenues and expenditures in each fund. You'll notice at the bottom of that table is a new fund, which we're calling the Coronavirus Fund, and that is in order for us to separate the coronavirus relief funds that will be remaining at the end of this fiscal year, as well as to place the coronavirus state and local recovery funds, which are the funds from the American Rescue Plan Act, that will be received this year as well as next year. in order to separate that and have better accounting of those funds. As you know, that those ARPA funds, we have until 2024 in order to basically encumber those funds in 2026 to have them all spent. On the next page, page 8, is a chart that shows you how the amount of revenue for the general fund based on the tax rates would change. So at the top, the proposed tax rate again is 0.6519, which would give you an M&O or maintenance and operations rate of 0.5063 and a revenue property tax of, in the general fund of about almost $11 million. If you were to do the no new revenue rate, that would give you about $10.5 million or $464,000 less. Voter approval rate of 0.6727 would give you almost $11.5 million or about $451,000 more. There also is information about going a penny above the proposed rate or a penny below the proposed rate. I've also included our current current tax rate on there, a 0.6770, just as a comparison. But since our voter approval rate is 0.6727, we would not be able to adopt a rate as high as 0.6770 because that is too high. It's over our voter approval rate. We can't adopt any rate that is over 0.6727. And just as a side note, I did want to remind you that on August 24th, we'll be bringing to you an item that where you'll be taking a record vote on the preliminary tax rate. This would be the rate that you could not exceed when you go to adopt, but it's not the rate that you have to adopt when we go to adopt a rate. Looking further down on that page, we did include the calculation that is used to do the infamous HB 3195 statement. So we are trying to be a little bit more transparent in showing how and why that, what that statement actually means. So just to kind of walk you through that, that statement includes taking our 2021 total taxable value of almost $2.2 million, multiplying it by our proposed tax rate, which gives us an estimated total revenue of just over $14 million. Then we subtract our prior year adjusted taxes provided by Bell County Appraisal District of almost $13.5 million. And that gives us a total of $665,294 more taxes raised than the prior year. Then we divide that by that same $13.5 million to get a percent increase of 4.9%. And once we get to the next tab, you'll see that in the statement. excuse me. What we should also keep in mind is that our 2021 certified taxable value is 9% higher than the 2020 levy total from last year. And that levy total is what's used to calculate the prior year adjusted taxes. Our new property on the tax rolls, including any improvements, totals just over $32 million of the 2020 certified taxable value, and that comes out to $209,604 when you multiply that by our proposed tax rate. And so that's how you get the second number out of that. So if you turn to the HB 3195 statement tab, you'll see our statement for this year says that this budget will raise more total property taxes than last year's budget by $665,294, or 4.9%. And of that amount, $209,604 is tax revenue to be raised from new property added to the tax roll this year. So that's just a brief explanation of the calculation that's used in order to come up with that statement.
If you could hold just for a minute,
yes, sir.
Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. If we subtract out that 209,000 from that 665,000, what percentage will that give us? Do you have it in front of you?
No, sir, I don't have that in front
of me. Okay. Because I think it's important to reflect that and show that, you know, based on new businesses and new citizens, it's not just us generating new monies. It's new people that have moved in, new businesses that have come in as well. So we need to make sure we articulate that. All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I've got a question. This is Mayor Smith. On this HB 3195, what's the background? How long have we been doing that?
This was passed during the 80th legislative session. And I believe this year was the 87th, is that correct? So 14 years.
Okay, so can we get, is it worthwhile giving more background on that, on how we've arrived to this, on what the state legislature's done, or is that something we can do at a later time? I know this is dumb, just popping up on you. I don't want to throw a hard ball at you on that.
Mayor, this is Jerry Bark, Assistant City Manager, and we'd be more than happy to get that information to you for the...
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
That's good. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Okay, please continue.
Yes, sir. Behind that statement is
okay,
your...
Okay, excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
Again, another one. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. Also, for transparency, it's not just for us, but for our public also to be aware of it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, now please continue.
Yes, sir. So behind that statement is the budget and tax calendar. I've added times on that so that there's no confusion on when those meetings will be held. And all of these meetings, of course, are open to the public. Following that section is our trends and forecast section. This section, excuse me, provides information on our largest revenue sources and expenditure uses. And if we can go back, just one thing that I did forget to the budget at a glance section, page 13. Staff has included a new item in here at the bottom. You'll see a new drop site fee. It's an item for your consideration this year. We are contemplating the addition of a dollar drop site fee. This would be a monthly flat fee for each resident and would bring in approximately $135,100 starting next year and is in our sanitation budget. It would be used to help fund the increased usage of the drop site. As you'll see when you review the sanitation budget, the roll-off dumpster line item has increased tremendously due to the increased usage of the drop site. We felt that starting off with a $1 fee per resident each month would be a starting point on that. That hasn't been included in the fee schedule, and again, it's up to the council's discretion as to whether or not this is something that's going to be included.
Okay, and you have a question from Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Will this additional dollar fee a month for each citizen also contribute to additional services for recyclables at the drop site?
That would be something that we'd have to look into as far as how much additional recyclables would cost. And Mr. Hyde, the Public Works Director, will be talking about additional waste management options on next Friday during the budget retreat.
Okay, because I know that's something that's I've seen a lot of times throughout the years is the citizens are concerned about being able to recycle, and we have, you know, we do have some availability with it, but it's either been full or we've had trouble with Fort Hood, so that's something that we want to take a look at. If we're going to add a fee, we want to make sure we add the services that the citizens have been asking for. Okay, thank you.
Right, that's an excellent point. I think that I want to point out to council that this dollar does not cover your dumpster usage. I mean, they're getting more and more and more of those roll-offs. That number, as we'll go into in the budget, when you look in the sanitation fee, you'll see that it's really, really growing fast. We're going to have to do something because we're subsidizing it at this point. If it's going to, usage is going to continue to go up, we may have to look at that fee again, even more again in the future if it continues to go up, because that's a huge, huge cost. We have moved our recycling over. We work with waste management on that. Now we do have to pay for those recycling, for the disposing of those recyclables. And so that is something else that is hitting us in terms of cost. You know, Fort Hood no longer is a partner with us in that. They need to move away from that per directive, not local directive, but per national directive. And security of the fort is what they were looking at in terms of anything being brought onto the fort that might damage the fort. So we get that. So we're working with waste management on that. So I know Mark has been working with waste management. They did get a little bit behind in terms of emptying those bins, but I know Mark recently got them kind of freed up on that, and we were getting a little bit better service in terms of them picking those recyclables up and having empty bins for our citizens to put recycling in. But again, that is a cost, and that's why we're recommending that we do look at some type of additional fee and the sanitation to help us cover some of what we're subsidizing on that.
Okay, Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, and this is for David. My concern is that this is just coming up so short, and we haven't had an opportunity to workshop this item. Are we going to be able to workshop it a little bit? Are we going to have an emergency session or anything like this? Because this covers a lot of people, and not everybody does the recycling. Not everybody may feel that they should be charged this $1 fee.
Right. A $1 fee would, again, be for recycling. Of course, we're paying for that, but as well as just having the availability of the bulk drop-off bins. I mean, we're using a lot more bins, and yes, we will have all the discussions you have on your budget. That Aisha went over, that on your calendar will be opportunities to discuss this fee, particularly at the retreat. And I know Mr. Hyde is going to go in detail on some findings that we have in terms of additional services y'all have asked us to look at in terms of curbside recycling and curbside bulk collection. And so we'll be presenting that to you at the retreat as well. The $1 would hit sooner if we decide to do that, because it would hit with the budget. The other options that Mr. Hyde will be bringing to you probably would not be something that would hit right at the first of the budget year. It's something that we'll be discussing at the retreat, that we may want to go out and like do a citizen survey, get some citizen input now that we have some of the costs, and say, hey, it costs this much, would you like to have this service? And get that survey back so that y'all have some data from your citizens on what their comfort level is with the cost of that. Yes.
Okay, anything else? Okay, please continue.
Yes, sir. Following trends and forecasts, you have your budget summaries. That does start out with your fiscal year 2021 projections. Provides you with where we feel the new revenues, expenditures, and your estimated fund balance will be at the end of this fiscal year. And then provides you with the proposed budget for revenues, expenditures, and where you'll be at the end of next fiscal year. It also shows you your reserve requirements and your fund balance remaining. Excuse me. On page 3, it provides you with the grand total. And so at the end of this fiscal year, we are projecting that your total fund balance would be $28.2 million. Going into the next fiscal year, again, your revenues would be approximately $55.1 million. Your expenditure is $64 million, a decrease in fund balance of $8.9 million almost, and ending fund balance of $19.3 million. Your restricted funds would total $5.1 million. Your reserve requirements, $7.7 million. And after deducting those two, you would end up with an estimated fund balance remaining at the end of fiscal year 2022. Of $6.5 million. Again, I'm just doing an overview so that you can take the next week and a half to go over this thoroughly. After the blue sheet in this section, you have your personnel section. This budget does contain a 1.5% cost of living adjustment for all employees. We've also added an upgrade to the human resource coordinator position to assistant director of human resources. The new deputy police chief position has been put back into the budget. If you recall, we had a deputy police chief and then it was removed, and we're putting that back in. And we've also added the maintenance tech to wastewater. And we've moved the part-time maintenance tech from sanitation to be a part-time parts clerk in maintenance. And so those are the changes that have occurred as far as personnel.
Nisha, I may have missed that, but we are also upgrading the part-time records clerk to full-time MPD. Oh.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And so that is an overview of the personnel changes. Following that is your general fund. This is your revenue summary and expenditure summary. If you look at your, page 2, you'll see your total revenues for the general fund is $23.6 million down there at the bottom on the right. And you have an increase or decrease in fund balance, actually a decrease of $7.1 million, leaving you with an ending fund balance of $10.2 million and your fund balance requirement of $5.6 million. You'll see prior to that, your projected ending fund balance for this current year is $17 million. And if you flip over to your page 4, I will explain why that large of a difference. Currently, as I was speaking, this upcoming fiscal year, we will be creating the coronavirus fund. And so that $4 million this year, as well as the current amount of coronavirus relief fund money, is now currently in our general fund. So if you look at the last line item on page 4 before the total, that almost $5.2 million will be coming out of the general fund and going to the coronavirus fund as a transfer. If you look further up to that $2.5 million, that is your transfer to capital projects. If you recall in our discussion about repairing our streets due to the winter storm, we talked about using general fund reserves to help fund that project. And that's that transfer to take care of that. And so that part of that $7 million that's coming out of your decrease to the fund balance are those transfers to make those things happen. So it's not that we are quote unquote losing $7 million. It's that we're making transfers to, number one, create that coronavirus fund, and number two, to use that $2.5 million that we talked about to fix the streets. Those numbers that are highlighted up above that are your outside agencies, which we'll discuss more during the budget retreat so that you can decide what you'd like to do with those. And those requests are at the back behind the blue sheet in this section. If you'll turn to page 5, you'll note at the bottom, and this is with all the departmental details, you have percentages. The first one compares the projected to the prior year actual. So in this case, fiscal year 21 to fiscal year 20's actual is 34.4% higher. And then the negative 4.14%, fiscal year 2022 proposed budget is 4.14% lower than fiscal year 21 projected. So I just put that there for your ease and convenience. And that will be on all of the departmental budgets. So that is your, your general fund. I think that's all I wanted to talk about there. All right, your debt service fund. Your debt service rate is going to be 0.1456 to cover your debt. And this fiscal year, we so far do not project having to do any transfer into the fund. However, if you take a look at page 15, starting in fiscal year 2023, staff does project that we will need to start making small transfers into the debt service fund in order to help fund some of those expenses. Or we can make adjustments to the debt tax rate, make that a little bit higher to help fund. But we'll look closer at that next year, but just wanted to point that out. And I apologize for going back and forth, but if you go back to the general fund, the page right before the blue sheet, and take a look at fiscal year 2026, this is your general fund long-range plan. You'll note that as we get further out here, starting with 2026, you're getting closer to your ending fund balance, getting closer to your fund reserve requirement. So that's something as well that we want to keep a close eye on. All right. So that's debt service. excuse me. So then moving on to fixed asset fund. If you'll recall, this is not going to look the same as what's in your budget book because we did the budget amendment in July 2021. So that amended the budget, and we've made that change here under the 2021 budget. On page two, you'll note that we have changed this up a little bit to show that the coronavirus fund is going to be paying for $1.9 million worth of fixed assets next year. And that is what staff is proposing. And so it's actually about $1,020,900 that the actual that fixed asset fund will actually be funding. Excuse me. If you turn to page three, it breaks it down to let you know the items that we're proposing for each department, the amounts, and what funding source transfers in is basically the fixed asset fund. CRF is the coronavirus relief fund, and CSLRF is the coronavirus state and local recovery fund from ARPA. And then on capital projects fund, we start out with that same kind of list, and it has just the projects that are funded for this year, sorted by project type. Amounts, again, transfers in are funded by the transfers into the capital projects fund. The funding for 2018 certificates of obligation, 2019 certificates of obligation, and then the ARPA funds of almost $2.9 million. As usual, we also have following that your summary for the multiple years, which we always do with capital projects. It is the only fund that we approve a multiple year funding for because capital projects typically take more than 1 year. And it does have the detail by 2018 COs, 2019 COs, and the coronavirus fund as well following that. The Public Works Director has had a couple of items go to bid, so there'll probably be some changes to this before it gets approved. And of course, we'll get you copies and make those changes and get copies out to you. All right, in the utility fund, we have planned a 3% increase. As you know, we do a 3% increase as needed every other year. And the departmental detail here as well has the percentages at the bottom for your convenience. The sanitation budget, as I stated, has that drop site fee in there. Again, that is until we receive further direction from the council. So that is either there to stay or there to go or whichever way council decides. You'll also note that the sanitation budget has a higher fund balance than normal. And that's because we're still working on the interfund payable. Because the roll-off dumpsters have, the cost of those have been higher, we've had to make changes to the transfers out as well as hold off on the interfund payable, how much we pay towards that. And that is why that is so high. I don't want to plan for transfers going out that we can't make to other funds when we need to pay those bills. That's definitely more important to us. And as I stated, Mr. Hyde will have more information about waste management options for you guys on next Friday, or not next, yes, not this upcoming Friday, next Friday.
Council, you'll note on your sanitation department that we talked about the roll-off dumpsters. It's on page 2 of your sanitation budget, it's line 048. I'll just draw your attention to that. That in, we spent $246,124 in roll-offs in 19-20. We budgeted for $205,000 worth, and we're projecting this year to hit $305,000 worth on the dumpsters. Now, some of that is the winter storm cleanup, which we did some extra allowances for citizens. So that definitely will count for some of that. But you can see we're budgeting up to $250,000 for this coming year. So you see how that that cost continues to grow on the dumpsters.
In the drainage fund, there is no drainage rate increase planned for next year. Your hotel motel fund, again, has four items highlighted. Those will be determined by the council's discretion, again, at the budget retreat. The request is included in the back of this section. Also included in this section is hotel motel tax revenue received in the last 10 fiscal years. For this fiscal year, we have the amount received through August 13th. And we also have in this section on page 4 the historical outside agency payments. This is for general fund and hotel motel fund, as well as from Texas Town and City. We have a little informational sheet on the hotel tax two-step for you.
Okay. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Aisha, for the hotel motel fund, it looks like we did incorporate the new hotel coming on board?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. And they're, correct me if I'm wrong, they're expected to open April 2022, correct?
I'm not sure of the date, but I think that's why you're seeing us being a little hesitant. We've added some funds, but they won't be open for the full budget year. So
yes,
that's why you see a bump up there, but not maybe as much as what they'll offer once they're open for a complete year.
And following that is your restricted court fund. Along with that, we've provided also from Texas Town and City a legal Q&A about municipal court fees and restricted court fees. It just gives you some information on you know, why we're so strict on how much we transfer out. I didn't do that. And what those funds can be spent on. Next is the employee benefits fund. As you know, that's just to a pass-through for our employee benefits collection and payments. And then following that is the new coronavirus fund. You'll see that all of the numbers are in the 2022 proposed budget section. It shows the grant revenue that we expect to receive next year, that transfer from the general fund of about $5.2 million that I was talking about. And then the expenses of the fixed assets that will be purchased out of this fund, as well as the capital improvement projects that will be funded from here. And page 2 goes to a little more detail on that. No further out than 2023 do we have any information on this fund. And that's just due to the capital improvement projects that we know will take more than 1 year. And as additional projects come up, of course, those will be brought to council to ensure approval on those.
Okay, you have one question. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I see it clearly stipulates what the eligible uses of this fund are, or we can use them for.
Yes.
But we've also had numerous, well, not say numerous, but several citizens have articulated what they esteem to be proper uses of this fund. Can we also include maybe some examples of things that are clearly stipulated in the strings that are attached to these federal dollars of what we cannot use this money for? So that way it's clearly, you know, in black and white, and that way we can show that. Thank you.
We can have that information for you. I think National League of Cities put out a really good flyer on that at the retreat. We can provide that to you or before then even, so y'all can go ahead and start looking over what are allowable uses for those funds.
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. And then finally, at the back is your fee schedule, proposed fee schedule for next year. Following that, starting on page 19, is a utility bill comparison, as well as a utility fee schedule comparison. On page one, that marked out sexually oriented business and solicitor permits has just moved to page four. It has not been deleted. And that concludes it. Well, staff would like to wish you well as you dive into this wonderfully interesting book. And please feel free to call on us if you have any questions or concerns or need anything else. And we look forward to talking to you at the budget retreat on the 27th.
Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I just want to say well put together. I've only been here for a couple of years, but this so far has been the best product. So thank you for your team and you for the hard work you put into it.
Thank you. Yes, I got a lot of help from my team, Susan Crawley, my finance analyst, and Kelsey Kaufman, purchasing coordinator, and Zuli Reyes, my account technician, all helped with this. So it's definitely been teamwork.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, thank you. Thank you for the homework. And I'm sure that all the council members will do this. And I've lost count of the number of these I've gone through, and it's always a lot of fun. But the thing is that this this is probably the most important thing that we do as a city council. So again, we'll get our ducks lined up. And again, as you go through this, make sure in preparation for our retreat, go ahead and write things down that are that as they come to you, and then we can answer those in that forum. So it's really important, and you might have a different angle on something that that others don't. So, Mr. Mitchell, do you have anything else?
I don't, Mayor, other than just to thank Aisha and her staff. Susan's here. I know she had others, as she mentioned. They did a great job putting this together. Again, you see the extra work they put in providing some of those extra documents that kind of tell you how you have to spend that. So they did a great job, and just very proud of our team.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item under new business is item number two, to receive and discuss a presentation regarding the Vision 21 class project. Assistant City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council members. As you may remember, the Harker Heights Vision 21 class originally presented the idea of painted murals within the city. The class is still proceeding with that, at least one of the murals, specifically within our park system. The class would also like to install a city clock. The requested location of the clock is within our municipal complex, the City Hall, and the rec center. We currently, as you know, do not have a town square or city center, and this has kind of been our adopted city center here at within this municipal complex. We have our Christmas tree lighting. We have our Veterans and Memorial Day events at this location, as well as the soon-to-be world-famous farmers market. So within your council packet, if you would turn the page within your council packet, you will find a diagram of the clock. And I'm just going to kind of highlight some of these items within this clock. It is a two-sided decorative antique clock. It will have illumination. The dusk to dawn face illumination will happen on this clock too as well. It's 100% cast iron aluminum structure. It will also have two features. It's automatically adjust for daylight savings time, as well as it will reset after a power disruption. There are a couple of things for consideration, the location, the foundation, electrical work, and the maintenance. What I want to point out to you is kind of the location that we've staff has assisted. First of all, we have Alan Strickland and Melanie Smith with us. They're kind of the class project managers, if you will, and they, one's shaking her head no, but they've been involved in all the conversations, and they've been a delight to work with, too, as well, as we discuss this project. On your map, you will see our city hall complex, and the original location that we first started looking at was on the left side as you come into your driveway area. You can actually see the Christmas tree when this photo was taken is up. Our recommendation is to put it on the opposite side of the road, on this side. There's less obstructions, if you will. However, the biggest obstacle, there's no electricity on that side. So we would have to run electricity underneath the road and get to that location. There is a light pole next to the drive-through of our utilities that we would propose to run the electricity to this lighting for this clock feature. The class, they still have some homework to do. They are going to send us the anchoring and electrical details for this clock, as well as provide us with electrical contractors so we can begin working with that electrical contractor. As with any facility or object that is within our park system or within our city property, once it's installed, we will maintain that fixture. We don't anticipate a huge maintenance on this clock. We have done this in the past with the chamber, specifically in some of the development of our pavilions. They've helped put the pavilion in at Carl Levin Park. I don't know if you're aware of that. And we maintain that pavilion. So with that, there, again, Alan and Melanie are here. They'll be more than happy to answer any specific questions. Staff does support the city clock, so we wanted you to be aware of that too as well. So with that ends my presentation. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Council? Just go ahead and hit your button. Okay, Council, Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
I don't have any questions. I just wanted to say how excited I am to see this project come to fruition. It's timeless, so to speak. I think it's great, and it's something that I think that y'all will be very proud of, and kids and grandkids and generations of people can come back and visit and see. I've heard a lot about the project. I wonder why. But I love that there's going to be a lot of opportunity for the businesses and other local people to get involved to help support it. And again, it's in one more piece in the city that people will be able to visit and see the contributions to. So I'm really excited about it.
Thank you. Going through the example, this Mayor Smith, going through the example, that will there be an education package? Because I see that it's analog.
I'm sure there will be, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I won't be punny like my fellow council member here, but can you go back to the site locations there? I just wanted to know, on the other side of the, I like it being on the other side of the street there, but was it considered there for the corner further to the right, go up on with the cursor right up there?
The center,
so that way you can see it coming and going from both sides, from either direction, and not so, it just seems, I don't know, to me it just seems it might be a better location, but it might not be. I don't know what my fellow council members think, but I thought it might be great, possibly their location as well, but that's just my thoughts. But I do like the idea of the clock.
We can definitely take a look at it. I believe there is some electrical items happening right there in that location, but we'll take a look at that.
Well, maybe you can tie into them and don't have to
sure,
run
sure,
power.
Sure.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Okay, Councilmember Nash.
I wanted to see if Alan and Melanie could come up. I had some questions for them.
Way that easy for you.
Project manager, yes. Yeah.
So on the picture that has the clock on there, it has bricks around there. Mm-hmm. Is that the design that you're planning on doing?
Yes. So what we're doing right now is we're reaching out to some local companies to kind of support this, trying to keep everything as local as we can. And our vision is, I think there's a slide in there somewhere, but our vision is we're going to have an 8 to 10 foot diameter around the base of the clock. We're going to have bricks two levels high, and we're going to have a flat like surface on the top, which we're asking for donors, for sponsors for that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sell bricks to go around this. Different levels, different layers, different price points, and et cetera. But really what we're trying to do is, before we were trying to sell, you know, a spot on a map for a selfie trail, a mural type thing. And now this is more of a longer lasting type sponsorship. So these local businesses that are going to buy into this, and you're going to have your name or your company logo, and the company name or your personal name etched on a stone, etched on a brick. And so it's something that's just going to last. It's like Jennifer said, it's timeless. That was kind of our focus on this, was to make something that's lasting, that we can be proud of, that the city can be proud of, that, you know, future residents can be proud of, and just really become kind of the focal point, the city's downtown square. So there's a lot of work behind this still to do, getting the design kind of fine-tuned of how we're going to set everything up, and then we're already in a process of taking donations, selling bricks, but just I think this is something that local businesses are going to be excited about, and they're going to be a part of it and have their business or their name etched in a stone.
Thank you. I'm sure that you have just wonderful members are part of this class, and I'm sure they're going to help you every way they can.
That's what we're hoping for. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I want to say thank you for cheering this on, and you're definitely going to have our support. And I agree with Michael that we should put it center so that we could be able to see it both ways. So I vote for that.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
Are y'all looking at doing the benches on the sides?
That's something that's in the process, yes. It honestly, at this point, depends on how much money we can raise.
Mm-hmm.
But our vision, and when we initially went to city management and kind of presented this, that was something that we kind of talked about in a meeting, was something that can be expanded upon. You know, we're going to do what we can as far as presenting. The clock is pretty much paid for. The bricks, we're going to get donations for. The electrical work, we're going to try to get donated. We're trying to get everything as cost effective as we can. The more money we raise, yes, the more our vision is becoming not just a clock with a perimeter around it, but some benches, potentially maybe a gazebo down the line somewhere. There's lots of things that we want to do. It's honestly about how much money we can raise to see what we can do at this time.
And the site is a really good location, either wherever the final location, because it's not limiting.
Right.
Well, that's what I was about to say. If it goes towards the center there where Councilman Blomquist just was pointing out, and Councilwoman Fontaine, that you'll have more room to expand right there. You'll have more room for the benches. You'll have more room for it to be a focal point in the center. So.
Yeah, and we're not opposed to that location. Our biggest thing was trying to stay away. There's a little city bus stop kind of thing there. We were trying to just stay away from that. We didn't want to, if this got bigger, we didn't want to get too close to that little bus stop location. So we're not opposed to that location at all. That's something that, you know, we can take out there and go look at to see where the best spot is. But we really, you know, we had some ideas of Carl Levin Park and different places, and we really kind of wanted this to be the focus, because this is the perfect spot. Everything's here. Mm-hmm. This is the downtown square, so to speak, and so that's what we're trying to create.
No, I think it's a great idea.
Did y'all consider a four-face clock?
We did. It's quite a bit more expensive. And honestly, the company that we're going through, they're out of Pennsylvania, and I personally reached out to them and spoke to the owner of this company. And I kind of told him what our vision was, and he being the owner of the company, he sold us on the two-face clock just because of what we're trying to do and accomplish. He thought the four-sided clock would just be a little bit too much for this area. It would be a lot brighter, and so there may be, you know, complaints about being too bright. I don't know. So, but he proposes a two-face just because it's a little more cost-effective and it looks a little nicer than the four-face.
Like a four-face would be really appropriate for a golf course.
Like a golf course.
Or something really widespread. So he felt this was more appropriate.
Right. As you look at them, though, also considering the, or, you know, wherever you put it, but also the orientation, if you're going to go with two-face, you're looking at that as well. You're looking to have it as a cardinal direction, say east-west, or you looking at that?
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah, we're looking at all aspects of it to see what the best way to set it up is, the best direction where traffic flow. We really wanted this to be visible. And so we're trying to make sure everything is lined up perfect out there.
Okay, good. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I kind of like that, now that you mentioned about the bus stop, you know, it's kind of, you're setting a standard there, so that way the hop will know exactly, you know, if it's 12 noon and they're supposed to be there.
Exactly.
The people are sitting there looking at it, so you might hold them to a standard. They might be on time all the time.
You might be on time. You got a clock right there. There's no excuses for being late, right?
I know. The other thing is I like the idea of getting the volunteers to help out and provide their services, yes, and especially electrical and stuff like that, because some, yes, of that can get costly. The only thing I would ask, and I know you're probably already thinking this, so I'm probably preaching to the choir, but make sure you provide all of the electrical diagrams and overlays to the city, so that way Mark doesn't have to get out there with the divining rod and try to find things when things go bad, and right, so we can get things taken care of.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. And the last thing I would say is, do you have the, where do I buy a brick?
We can get you taken care of right now. I've got a flyer and everything already. We can get you taken care of today.
Good.
We would love the support.
I'll see you.
We would love the support.
Okay, anything else from the council?
Good job, y'all. Good. I just want to add, thank you for y'all's work with the amendment to the ordinance with the wall art, because yes, that does, we're really proud of that.
Yes.
You know, the class that helps implement that, so that can pave the way for future development.
Yes.
Yep.
So thank you.
Well, the mayor has one more for you. Okay. Have you coordinated, you know, looking at the examples you have, they're more Victorian, if you will, as far as those examples. Are there other options that are more regionally appropriate to Texas?
There was then, yes and no. There were a couple different designs. This was a more classy design. I looked at some other lot designs that were cheaper that we didn't like as a class, really. This was something that, when I, again, talking to the owner of this company, mm-hmm, they ship clocks to Texas all the time.
Right.
And this is the hottest selling ticket. And this is the clock that they make on a more frequent basis. So it's something that it looked more classy. It stands out more. And so that's kind of the route that we took.
Okay. All right. Well, and just the, you know, as far as regionally, and just a small amount of time as far as research on Google, you know, the fact is that Brian Dalhart, Houston's got a big four-faced one, but also Texas City. So you have Texas people that have already done that. Those,
yes,
examples are there, and it might help you out is to get some lessons learned from them, mm-hmm, as they went through it. I don't know if the city did it or who
right,
funded the thing, but
sure,
there are examples that aren't too far away from,
yes,
us, or that you can establish liaison,
yes,
with that.
Yes, yeah, and I like I said, the, you know, I mentioned earlier the owner of this company, he tells me they ship clocks to Texas all the time, so I was going to kind of go back to him and see if he could give me maybe a list of companies, businesses, cities, whatever, that they've sent clocks to. And we could reach out and just kind of see how that was done, how that was installed, how that process went. They're going to be involved in the whole process through this, shipping the clock to us in pieces, help us with the install on the phone. I mean, they're going to be there the whole time supporting us. And so I'm going to reach back out to them and get more details about that and just kind of see, you know, what other cities have done and how that's worked out.
Okay, good. Anything else from the council? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Mr. Bark, you have anything else? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next item under new business, item number 3, receive and discuss a presentation regarding a review of the city charter of the city of Harker Heights. Assistant City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. just kind of want to go through a couple of things. First of all, what a charter is. A charter is a document that establishes the city's governmental structure and provides a distribution of powers and duties among the various branches of government. There are two types of city governments in the state of Texas versus the general law city and the home rule city. The primary difference between the two is that general law city can only do what the state legislature, through law, allow them to do. The home rule city, on the other hand, can pass any regulations or laws it deems necessary unless the state law prohibits it. Home rule cities are also cities with populations of more than 5,000 in which citizens have adopted home rule charters. In order to be implemented, the charter must be approved by the people at an election. And as you know, the city has a charter. The original charter was adopted back in December of 1971. It was later amended some 20 years later in 1991. So the reason for the review. It is to determine whether any of the charter requires revisions. Also determine if any of the charter amendments are needed, for example, for compliance with state laws or court precedents, or to improve the effective application to current conditions. So with that, we have a few options that we can proceed with our charter. The option that staff is recommending to council, it would be to allow our legal counsel to begin the reviews of our charter and make recommendations to the process and then bring it back to council for future movement. And once he brings it back to, if Charlie brings it back to the council, then we'll discuss how we can proceed with that process. So with that, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions about the charter, not specifically about the charter, but about the process.
Anything from the council? Okay, Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Jerry, how long do you anticipate this review would take from Charlie?
Councilman Blomquist, I'm not sure. I did talk with Charlie about, you know, what this might cost, and he's supposed to get with me this coming week in terms so we can put that into the budget, because it will be additional work that their firm will be doing for us. But I don't know how long it will take them to read through it and then figure out what needs to be revised and bring those recommendations back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is Mayor Smith, and if, correct me if I'm wrong, Julie, all the council members have a copy of the charter?
That is correct, but we do also have additional copies if any council member would like one.
Okay, just want to make sure if you did normally had that small booklet that we had on the charter. It's a good thing to review from time to time, but now that we're going forward with that, again, just make sure that everybody's got a copy of that so they can start going through that even while we're waiting for the city attorney to be able to do things. And again, that's not to say, you know, basically if it's not broke, don't fix it. Okay, so again, read through that. Nothing has jumped out. I mean, I read through it at least every year on doing that. But again, it's always worthwhile to pick up something, especially if things that might change down in Austin that we may not be, you know, from a legal standpoint, to be aware of. So that's a suggestion that I have. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, and that was the same mindset that I had. Is there any major differences in the municipalities such as ours? So there, are we progressing? Because it's been a minute before we've changed. So yeah, that's the things that we would like for Charlie to be looking at.
Will do.
Okay. Councilmember Hallaby.
Sam Hallaby, Place 5. There is any limitation for the changes on the charter before you go back to the state legislature?
Are there any limitations to the charter on the
change? On the change, to change the charter.
Not that I'm aware of, but that's what Charlie will be looking at. Absolutely.
So council's aware it would have to go back to the citizens if you decide that there are things that do need to be amended, even if it's, say, we're the state statutes or some court case has ruled some part of our charter needs to be revised, it still will have to go to the citizens for a vote at an election for the charter to be revised, even though it may be in conflict, that any changes to the charter would require a charter election.
Councilmember Fontaine.
So, David, this is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. In the event that there were changes to be updated, it would go to our next voting session that we have in May.
That would be,
if it's ready.
Yes, that is correct. I mean, it depends on when you get it back and when council has a chance to get comfortable with that's what they want to do. And Charlie will walk you through some of the processes. I mean, some cities put together a group of citizens as well to be a charter review. They bring those changes to them, let them kind of mill that over. Again, Charlie will lay all that out for you. I don't believe you legally have to do that, but he'll lay out the process ahead of you. That really probably depends on how much you need to modify as whether you would want to bring that together.
Okay. All right. Anything else from the council? Mr. Park?
Sure. That is it. Thanks.
Okay. Time is 4 p.m. and we're adjourned.
This conference is no longer being recorded.